90 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tamio.
And it's a Wednesday, July 2nd, 2014. We're having a good morning so far. Lots of great stuff to talk about, including why in the world would anybody want to be Catholic? Well, actually, that is sort of the title of Patrick Madrid's latest book. He's going to be joining us at 15 minutes past the hour. Now, we know the answer to those questions, and there's many answers. Why be Catholic? 10 answers to a very important question from our friend Patrick Madrid. And this is really cool. The foreword of this brand-new book, same publisher as My God's Bucket List, by the way, Image Books, is by Cardinal Sean O'Malley. Awesome. So this will be fun. I haven't spoken to Patrick in a while. I look forward to it. He's a wonderful teacher, an apologist, and a speaker, and we've done many conferences together. Most recently, we spoke at the Steubenville Conference last summer, 2013, which was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed that. But what a great book for right now, because are we under attack or what? And we can start with the, of course, HHS mandate. And, of course, Michael Warsaw, CEO of EW10, and Cher was with us yesterday talking about, thanks be to God, the temporary stay that they received as their case moves forward through the courts. So why would anyone want to be Catholic in this day and age? We are just called everything under the sun. We're homophobic. We're sexist. We are in the dark ages. And we don't care about people. We don't care about, well, anything except, you know, putting our own very restrictive religious beliefs onto the whole world. So why be Catholic? We're going to let Patrick answer those questions. I'm really looking forward to this, especially in light of what's been going on in the world lately and how over and over and over again, and this is one of the main reasons why I'm Catholic, how the church is proven right if we only have eyes to see and ears to hear. And then after we chat with Patrick Madrid and take your calls and questions, we will be going to Rome to talk with the birthday girl, Joan Lewis, a little belated birthday wishes for her. She turned 74 years young on Monday, and she's been emailing me, as we always do. We email each other back and forth, well, many times, but especially as we prepare for our segments. Kind of quiet over there in Rome right now. Of course, maybe the Holy Father is going to be busy watching the World Cup soccer because Argentina is still in it, so it's a pretty big deal. Of course, he's very, very busy doing many more important things, but he has been encouraging this as a sport and to make sure that when you're watching sports, you keep things in perspective and to be peaceful about it. Because if you've ever been to Europe or to any other part of the world, soccer is huge. And unfortunately, many situations have gotten out of control. And so the Holy Father has been reminding people that this is only a game and that sportsmanship is great, but to be calm and to watch it in a civil manner. So, but also he does have some close by trips planned coming up, and then we'll look at some other issues that are out there facing the Holy Father and the Church right now. Joan Lewis, our bureau chief in Rome, she joins us at 39 minutes past the hour. So what are your plans for 4th of July? Boy, if you live in North Carolina, you might be affected by the weather, although they're saying it could move out. This first hurricane of the season, Arthur, could be moving out away from the East Coast and into the Atlantic, so hopefully you won't be affected, because most parts of the country are looking at some really beautiful weather for this 4th of July weekend. Of course, 4th of July coming up this Friday, and we'll wrap up the Fortnight for Freedom with all the beautiful events that are going on. And for more information, you can go to the homepage of the USCCB for that information at usccb.org. It is 4 minutes past the hour. It's a Wednesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. You're listening to EWTN. I'm Teresa Tamio. Let's take a look at the news and see what's happening in and around our world on a Wednesday. Religious leaders from several Christian churches and Jewish organizations reaffirming their staunch support for the federal religious freedom protections cited in the U.S. Supreme Court's recent Hobby Lobby decision. You can find the story on EWTNnews.com. In the United States, Freedom of religion has always included and should always include the right to live out one's religion and act according to one's conscience outside the walls of one's house of worship. That's according to a statement released on Monday. They praise the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of 1993 as a, quote, highly flexible legal standard that protects the rights and liberties of individuals of all religious faiths, including the most vulnerable, end quote. Signers of that letter, including Archbishop Joseph Kurtz of Louisville, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, as well as Southern Baptist, Lutheran, Jewish, and Mormon leaders. The letter asking Congress not to amend or repeal the act, calling it one of our, quote, nation's most vital legal protections for the religious freedom and rights of conscience of every person of every faith, end quote. Well, a convention for an organization supporting marriage between one man and one woman is already being labeled in the public square as an anti-gay hate group, a year before the World Congress of Families is set to meet in Salt Lake City. Stephen Ha is the executive director of the Utah Pride Center. He calls the decision to allow the group to come to his area disappointing.
We feel like this group, their platform is religious fundamentalism that promotes a narrow definition of the human family.
Meanwhile, Sutherland Institute spokesman David Buer responds to the name-calling.
It's a celebration of all that is good in traditional marriage.
The convention is expected to attract over 3,000 people and will focus on marriage between one man and one woman. An Italian bishop wants to ban people from naming godfathers to help stop the spread of the mafia. Archbishop Giuseppe Fiorini Morsicini telling Vatican Radio the 10-year ban should be done because mobsters use the religious symbols to give themselves a clean image before society. He also said that Pope Francis is interested in hearing more about this and a meeting with bishops from southern Italy in hopes to make a joint proposal. If you recall, last month, Francis excommunicated mafia members during a talk in southern Italy. Senator Dick Durbin not happy with the Supreme Court's ruling in the Hobby Lobby case. He says it's another example of the courts treating businesses as people. He's planning to introduce a bill that will deal with a decision which allows some employers to skip out on paying for birth control for their workers. Many employers who spoke out against the Affordable Care Act said that paying for birth control was a violation of their moral and religious beliefs. The Supreme Court Monday ruling that when it comes to certain closely held or family private businesses, the government cannot trump religious beliefs. Durbin says employers who opt out should be required to let their workers and applicants know they won't cover particular types of birth control. He's introducing a bill, he says, that will make that happen. President Obama's spokesperson tiptoeing around what specific executive actions a president might take on immigration reform. The president has vowed to do what he can because of what he says is inaction in the House. White House spokesman Josh Earnest saying the Obama administration officials are expected to finalize recommendations to the president by the end of summer. The chair of the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus, says President Obama does not respect the U.S. Constitution. He calls Obama's presidency a power grab and says he expects him to continue with executive orders.
You know, I don't think it's a ploy. I think actually he intends to try to change the laws of this country on his own. I think he envisions himself in having that kind of power. And I think he's going to be as cute and as clever as he possibly can to do it.
Priebus applauding Speaker of the House John Boehner for suing the president. He said the executive orders are taking away from Boehner's responsibility as a speaker. The alleged leader of the 2012 terror attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi facing a detention hearing in D.C. federal court today, as Erica Kane reports.
Ahmed Abu Qatala was captured in Libya June 15th and transported to the U.S. via the USS New York. He entered a not guilty plea during an indictment hearing on Saturday. The 43-year-old Libyan is the suspected mastermind of the September 11th bombing of the U.S. compound that led to the deaths of four Americans, including U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens. Erica Kane, Washington.
The Civil Rights Act of 1964, 50 years old today. The landmark legislation bans discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, or sex. Robert Hutchings is a dean of the LBJ School of Public Affairs at the University of Texas.
There were two high schools in my little Central Florida hometown. There were, at every gas station, two drinking fountains. There were two communities, one colored, so-called, and one white. That, as a legal matter, mercifully is long behind us.
President John F. Kennedy called for passage of a sweeping civil rights bill in 1963. Kennedy's call was motivated by civil rights protests in the South after he was assassinated. President Lyndon Johnson cited Kennedy's legacy and pushed legislation through Congress. The first tropical storm of this year's hurricane season could dampen the 4th of July plans of millions of people living along the Atlantic coast. Meteorologist Rob Carolin says Tropical Storm Arthur on path to hit North Carolina later this week.
The only potential area that may see an impact would be the Outer Banks of North Carolina on the 4th of July. If we believe one of the computer models, that may not even happen. It may be far enough offshore to the east of the Cape Hatteras that it doesn't affect it.
Forecasters say Arthur could become a hurricane by the time it might hit North Carolina, a tropical storm watch already in effect for parts of Florida. Facebook triggering more debate about a controversial experiment. On Tuesday, Facebook acknowledged its official data use policy did not specifically list research when referring to ways that members' information might be used. The controversy stemming from a study conducted in January of 2012 to see how some users' emotions were affected by subtle manipulation of their news feeds. British regulators saying on Tuesday they'll review the study for compliance with privacy laws. And finally, in our news segment this morning at 11 minutes past the hour on Wednesday, July 2nd, the U.S., sorry, we're out of the World Cup bummer after a 2-1 loss to Belgium in the knockout stage. But many fans say the team did great and they're on the right path to success.
I'm really happy that they even, like, got this far, and I see that they've improved.
Fans say the U.S. played very well and should be proud to have gotten so far in World Cup competition. Meanwhile, Belgium scoring twice in extra time to take a 2-1 lead before the Americans answered with their only goal. The U.S. was trying to reach the quarterfinals for the first time since 2002. Now Belgium moving on to face Argentina in the quarterfinals coming up this weekend on Saturday. It is a Wednesday morning. You're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question for our guest, Patrick Madrid, on his new book, Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Moving into the 4th of July weekend, we'll be right back on EWTN on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by the generous support of Siena Communications. With Siena, using your mobile phone helps the culture of life in America with no additional cost or effort from you. This year, Siena is changing its name to Charity Mobile to reflect its commitment to helping pro-life charities through mobile phone service. More information can be found at ProLifeCatholic.com. That's ProLifeCatholic.com. Charity begins at phone.
Ave Maria Radio is making great changes to their radio lineup on the weekend. Our newest call-in venture, Mass Appeal, sets sail Saturdays at 9 a.m. and the Best of Cresta moves to 1 p.m. To see all the specifics, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the On Air tab. And remember, you can listen live on your desktop, laptop, or smart device. And download Ave Maria programs at your convenience. Ave Maria Radio. Build the church. Bless the nation.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Why in the world would anybody want to be Catholic? For goodness sake, we're just, you know, against women, we're against love. love we're just these old-fashioned stick-in-the-muds who don't know anything about anybody or care about anything. So says some members of the press, our culture. The Catholic Church is painted and put in a particular box. Of course, we know that it's not true. And the reason why I am Catholic, mainly because it is true. It's true. And it's proven true over and over and over again. I'm a little passionate about this, as you can see, and that's why I was excited to have my friend Patrick Madrid on with me this morning, making a beautiful case for our beautiful faith in his latest book, Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question, with the foreword, which is very cool, by Cardinal Sean O'Malley, the Archbishop of Boston, of course. Now, those of you who listen and watch EWTN, Patrick really doesn't need an introduction, but I'll do it anyway because maybe we have a new listener on board, and we're glad to have you here. Patrick, the author of, or editor of, 20, but who's counting, books on Catholic themes, including Search and Rescue, Where Is That in the Bible, and Pope Fiction. He also hosts a daily radio program right here, right now, heard on over 240 EWTN stations. Also, a professor of theology at Holy Apostles College and Seminary and the president of Catholic Apologetics Academy, Patrick and his lovely wife, Nancy, whom I've had the privilege of meeting, live in Ohio along with the rest of their family, which now includes 11 children and 15 grandchildren. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you, Teresa. Great to be on the show with you.
And thanks for this book. What a great time. God's timing is always perfect. But let's talk about why you decided to do this book, Why Be Catholic?
Yes. Well, for me personally, it was a way to put down on paper, so to speak, my own personal reasons, my own convictions that I came to sometimes not easily over the years of being confronted, being challenged, being questioned from various directions about why I'm Catholic, sometimes from atheists, sometimes from Protestants and Mormons and others. And so for me, it was a kind of cathartic exercise to actually crystallize in my own mind what are those reasons and then put them into the book form. But I wrote the book not for myself. I wrote it for people who maybe are a bit cynical or a bit skeptical about the Catholic Church. I think it's a good booster shot for any Catholic who's already convinced. It'll help remind and maybe even amplify what some of those reasons are. But for somebody who says, you know, I'm not buying it. I really don't buy into the Catholic Church. I want to appeal directly to that person. And that's probably the main audience of this book.
And isn't that what we have now so much in the world, especially when we look at what's going on with the Hobby Lobby case and all the attacks on the church, and now the media finally getting a clue, slowly but surely, that the Pope isn't the Pope of the Church of what's happening now?
Yeah, little by little they seem to be waking up. Well, Pope Francis certainly is perplexing in many different ways, not least of which is how the world doesn't seem to have figured out yet what he's all about, but it sounds like they are little by little. But yeah, we live in an era of skepticism toward Christianity in general, but in particular toward the Catholic Church. And as you know so well, we've got two big black eyes when it comes to the scandals in the church, especially in the last 15, 20 years. So when I wrote Why Be Catholic, Teresa, what I wanted to do is to begin at the very worst possible point. And so I open the first chapter is with the scandals, and I begin by saying, to the skeptics, to those who look at the Catholic Church with a jaundiced eye, I say, you know, the Catholic Church is a lot like Noah's Ark. And if you can get a mental image of what it would have been like to be on the Ark, it's not very pretty. It was a messy place, a smelly place, a lot of commotion. A lot of those animals would have liked nothing more than to devour one another if they could have gotten out of their pens. And so I talk about how, from a human standpoint, the Catholic Church is much like that. But yet it's the ark of salvation, and I would much rather be on that ark when the floodwaters start than not. And so I start there, and I say, let's take a look at the scandals and all the other problems in the church, and then build our way up from there.
I think that's great because you put it right out there first and showing that we're not afraid to talk about this, and we know that this is an issue, and it's going to be an issue with us, and unfortunately forever, I think, something we'll always have to deal with and be careful of. That's why the church has done, I think, such a good job of really addressing this issue now. But so you deal with that up front. I think, too, right now, so many people, I'm sure you're getting a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls about this. I'm getting a lot of this through the Internet as well, where people really having a hard time or struggling with defending the faith in light of what's going on right now with contraception and this push for, you know, marriage other than between a man and a woman. And the Catholic Church has proven right over and over again. And that's what kept me Catholic. And like you, I was skeptical of a lot of things. But then again, I never really studied the teachings of the Church until I had my own come-to-Jesus moment. So when I started to look at what was happening, first and foremost in my own life when I was away from the Church, and then as I gradually started to peel away that onion and realize how my life, not only my spirituality, my relationship with my husband and others started to improve when I began to embrace and take the faith seriously, then it allowed me to look at the other areas where I was skeptical, because I didn't agree with the Church teaching on birth control. I had issues with that, and I had to work through that. And also the whole pro-choice thing. Never had an issue with the male priesthood, which I think is interesting. My spiritual director said that's because I had such a love for the Eucharist at an early age. But I really had to work through these things. But especially now, Patrick, I'm so glad I'm Catholic with everything that's going on in the world.
Yeah, it's like being on that ark.
Yeah.
And the rain is coming down, and, you know, it's starting to pool up around people's ankles, and it's just not looking good. So, I understand what you're saying. I'll add a little footnote here. I grew up Catholic. I was born into a devout Catholic family, the oldest of eight kids. I grew up in Southern California, and I never had any doubts about the Catholic faith, doctrinally speaking. I was never skeptical about anything. I always was, I guess you could say, just blessed with a kind of sense of I never struggled with any of it. It made sense to me, and I didn't have any difficulty believing any of it, including the more difficult things like contraception. As you pointed out, my wife and I, we have 11 children. So we, if anybody, understand the pressures that go into having kids and the temptations for contraception. But for me, it was a bout of lukewarmness that lasted a good 15 years or so. I never left the Catholic Church. I was never tempted to leave the Catholic Church. But from about the time I was 14, 15 years old, when I picked up the bass guitar and learned how to play the bass and started playing with rock and roll bands and started getting heavily into that world, and I didn't get out of that world really until I was into my mid-20s. And so it was that compartmentalized life that got me. And I was, you know, maybe 80% Catholic, 20% something else. And I had these little compartments in my life that were not Catholic. God did not live in those compartments. And so for me, my being convinced, it took the form of having this radical reconversion experience that was very painful, very embarrassing, quite frankly, because I realized what an idiot I had been. Mm-hmm. And all kind of the remorse for sin and things caught up with me. And over the course of a year, that's where I turned the corner. But I never left the Church in the meantime. I would always very proudly say, yes, I'm Catholic. I went to Mass on Sunday. So we all have different ways, you know, different things that get us. That was my case.
I think it's so interesting, though. But right now what I'm seeing there out there in the culture, and I was talking about this in my editorial segment in my local hour, is you first have to deal with the truth and the facts. For example, the way the Catholic Church is portrayed and discussed in the world is not even from a factual perspective, not even looking at the reality of the way the Church operates. And so this is what frustrates me, not only as a talk show host and as a journalist, but as a Catholic. Because if you go to talk to someone, they are coming in with these ideas that have been formed by the culture that are completely void of any facts in terms of the actual Church.
Or they take actual facts, but they twist them to appear something that they're not. I just read an editorial in a secular newspaper yesterday, and it was laughable because they took exact aspects of the Church, for example, that the Catholic Church ordains only men to the priesthood, and things similar to that. But instead of just saying what they are, they said Pope Francis refused once again to give equality to women in a Catholic Church reeling from scandals, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other dangerous thing, is that there can be some facts put out there that may in fact be true, but they're twisted in such a way that they give a terrible misimpression to people who don't know any better.
Right. So how do we break through that?
Well, one thing I tried to do is to write this book so that it can be a kind of portable truth dispensary where you can hand it to somebody and say, here, read this. I understand you've got problems with the Catholic Church, or maybe you object to some teaching of the Church, or maybe you're skeptical of Catholics, you think they're all hypocrites. This book addresses those issues. And so I think there are people, maybe some who are listening right now, who say, yeah, that sort of describes me. I've got problems with the Catholic Church. Or I know somebody who's got a problem with the Catholic Church, and I'd like to help, but I just don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
I think a book like this, there are many other books, but this happens to be mine. This is one way to do that. Radio programs such as yours and mine, Catholic radio and television, there's so many ways now that we can tell the truth. We just have to be person specific about doing it.
Yeah, and I think when people really get a grip of and get a grasp of what the church really teaches versus what they think she teaches, they have no idea. It is amazing to me how many people who still identify themselves as Catholics do not know what the church teaches.
Yeah, and you're right about that, absolutely right. And then there are also those who do have a general sense of what the church teaches, but they don't know why the church teaches. What is wrong with birth control anyway? What's the big deal? People don't know. Why do we have to believe, you know, whatever the given teaching may be? What is wrong with same-sex marriage? Things like that. If we don't know why, it becomes very hard to know why we should retain these beliefs if we don't know why they're taught.
Chatting with author, speaker, host Patrick Madrid, his latest book, Why Be Catholic, 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. If you have a question, you know the phone number, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. It's Catholic Connection on EWTN. We'll be right back.
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the St. Gregory Retreat Center, a fully licensed and internationally accredited alternative to traditional drug and alcohol treatment. This model has utilized the latest techniques based on the most current scientific research. More information about the St. Gregory Retreat Center is available at 888-778-5833. That's 888-778-5833.
For Christians, the new healthcare law presents some difficult moral dilemmas. Every insurance plan is now required to cover things like the morning after pill. So if you don't want your healthcare dollars funding procedures or prescriptions that go against God's design, what should you do? Fortunately, the law allows believers a better choice. MediShare. It's Christians across America who share each other's medical bills. It's affordable. Family options average around $300 a month. Best of all, you never pay for things that break God's heart. MediShare is a healthcare choice for life.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-11. That's 855-PSALM-11.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. Greetings from the lands of St. Paul. Join us on a cruise at the end of October and the first part of November as we go through Italy and Greece and Turkey. Our cruises are different. We don't spend time at gambling joints and tourist traps. We only go to the biblical sites. It's a Bible study and a seminar at sea.
To join Steve on this Ave Maria Radio pilgrimage cruise to the Mediterranean, go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimages picture.
Having a great conversation with Patrick Madrid. You know him well from EWTN Radio and TV and his many books and his great work in apologetics and many conferences and also pilgrimages. His latest book is Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. So, Patrick, why did you have, here's a question for you, why did you have Cardinal O'Malley write the foreword? I mean, obviously he's great and wonderful teacher, but you have a personal relationship with him?
I do. I mean, I do after a fashion. I haven't seen Cardinal O'Malley in quite a long time, but we first met when I was out to the Virgin Islands, where he was bishop at that time, the bishop of the U.S. Virgin Islands. And yes, I know apologetics is a very grueling occupation. Sometimes you have to go to places like the Virgin Islands.
You know what? It's a rough job, but somebody has to do it. You know, I have to give a women's conference talk in Trinidad and Tobago later in November, so I'm just going to offer it up to the Lord.
Poor baby. Yeah. I'm so sorry for you. And that's what my wife said to me when I had to go down there. But he had me down to speak for a week. And during that week that I was there, speaking mainly on the islands of St. Thomas and St. Croix, I lived with him for that week. I lived in his rectory. In fact, he picked me up at the airport.
Aww.
I showed up late. My plane from Puerto Rico got in, 10 o'clock at night or something like that. And I was more or less alone in this little baggage claim area, and I see this Capuchin friar with the robes and the sandals and the beard walking over to me. I thought it was just one of his priests that he sent, and it's the bishop. And so he picks me up in his little car, and we go back to his place, and that's where I lived for the next week and had Mass with him in the mornings and here and there a few meals with him. And that's where I got to know him and like him and admire him. And then he and I stayed in touch mainly through correspondence, although I would see him from time to time, you know, the occasional dinner, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to portray it as though we had some kind of like really close friendship. I admired him from a distance, and we kept in touch more or less intermittently. And it was basically on the strength of that relationship that I took the audacious step of just writing him a note one day, and I said, you know, I've got this new book coming out. I would really be honored if you would write the foreword. And he wrote back right away and said, absolutely, send me the book, and I'll be happy to write that for you.
So, well, that must mean a lot to you.
It does. It really does.
877-573-7825 if you have a question. We were talking during the break, Patrick, and this is one of my pet peeves and biggest frustrations, and when I really get my Italian up, that's why I'm glad for your book. But
you're Italian?
Yeah, I'm Italian. Did I mention I'm Italian?
Wow.
I didn't today.
I never
would
have known.
Yeah. But anyway, what really frustrates me is trying to just start a conversation about the faith. And you and I were discussing this during the break, and I was telling you some of the experiences I've had recently with some of my colleagues, former colleagues in the secular press, and some people who are still friends of mine. It's like, okay, if we're going to talk about this, if you're going to do a show or an article or a radio interview, can we at least start with the facts? Can we at least start with the truth? Because there's no point. Why am I debating, and why am I'm not going to debate fiction.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, and this is one reason, one more reason why there's so much work to do, and that is that there's an unawareness of the truth. Take something like the Catholic Church does not ordain women to the priesthood. Now, I've mentioned that twice. It's not my hobby horse. Don't get the wrong idea. But it's a very common theme in the media. And it's a stick that people like to beat the church with. And if they would only take the time to understand not only why the church teaches it, but what the teaching itself is, unfortunately, it's approached with this kind of American populist mentality that if enough people sign enough petitions,
right, then, it should change.
Then it's going to change. Yes,
yeah.
You know, obviously,
yeah,
it should change, but no, that's not how it works. So I agree with you. In order to do justice, especially in the news media, journalism should be engaged with the actual facts, not what we would like it to be. So that's where you and I have a lot of work to do, is to try to help make these things clear to people.
And it's really eye-opening to some people, and you think that often you're preaching to the choir when you're at a Catholic conference or at a particular parish, and then people come up to you who have been lifelong Catholics and say, I never knew that.
Yeah, but you know what really makes my day, and I see more and more of this, in part, I think, due to the Right Here, Right Now program, because it puts me in contact with people every single day, like your show does with you. But I get the most marvelous letters and emails from people who, when they encounter some aspect of the truth, it was a blind spot for them, maybe.
Right.
Or there's just something that never clicked for them, but suddenly after listening, they realize, wow, there's more to it than I thought. I am so heartened and encouraged by the marvelous responses that people who seem very unlikely to ever have that kind of change of heart, they write in and they talk about how the truth really is pulling them in. Because after all, Teresa, the truth has its own gravitational pull. And if we're willing to let ourselves be drawn to it, we will be. And that's where I think there's so much power in speaking the truth plainly without... It doesn't need to be complicated or technical, just simple from the heart truth, which is really what I try to do. I try to convey that from my heart truth in the pages of Why Be Catholic.
Yeah, we have stacks and stacks of those emails and letters that we always talk about, especially during our membership drives at Ave Maria Radio, because these are stories of people whose lives have been changed through something they heard on Catholic radio.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And it's very encouraging.
Well, I think your book's encouraging. Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. For me, Patrick, it's all about truth. And I have on my desk this beautiful quote from now St. John Paul II that I cut out of a journalism magazine when I was still calling myself Catholic in college and going to Mass occasionally, but I was looking at this as a cool thing because my church, the Catholic Church, actually talked to the media, and I thought it was really neat. But he said to journalists, and this is early in his pontificate when he was leaving the United States, he was speaking to them at the UN, he said, if your reporting does not always command the attention you would desire, or if it does not always conclude with the success you would wish, do not grow discouraged. Be faithful to the truth and to its transmission, for truth endures. Truth will not go away. Truth
beautiful.
Will not pass away or change.
Very beautiful, very true.
Well, and that's what your book is about, the truth. And you talk about the Blessed Mother. You talk about the priest scandals. What else is covered in the book?
Well, I have two chapters, one dealing with the sacraments as such, what they are and what they do. Then I have a second chapter that deals with the Mass and the Holy Eucharist. And I talk about the Mass and the Holy Eucharist by way of analogy. I use the analogy of an orchestra. And let's think about an orchestra for a minute. It's an ensemble of highly trained musicians. And the purpose of an orchestra is to make music. And it would defeat the purpose if somebody were to establish an orchestra and then say, all right, you're not getting any instruments, but rather I want you to go out into the world and fill up concert halls and describe music to people. I want you to tell them what it would sound like if only they could hear it. And I use that as a way of explaining what the Mass and what the Eucharist are, because in this case, the orchestra being the Church, it was given instruments, the instruments of the Mass. And with the Mass, they can actually play the music, which is the Holy Eucharist. So by way of analogy, rather than going out and simply telling people about Jesus, which is very important, we should do that. But we can do more than that. And the orchestra can play music, which is the equivalent in this analogy of being able to bring Jesus in the Eucharist to the people. What could be better than that?
Amen. Why Be Catholic? 10 Answers to a Very Important Question from our friend Patrick Madrid. It's from Image Books. When we come back, we go to Rome with more on why we need to be Catholic and should be Catholic and why we are Catholic. Joan Lewis, our EWTN Bureau Chief in Rome. Up next. Stay tuned.
I'd like to recommend my dentist, Dr. Matty, and his practice, Advanced Dentistry. When I needed a new dentist, I remembered I'd been hearing about him for years on Ave Maria Radio. I had recommendations from friends, but decided if Dr. Matty supports Catholic radio, he must share my Catholic values, and I wanted to support him. Dr. Matty's degree is from Tufts University. Dr. Matty really has a state-of-the-art, full-service dental practice, and I know he specializes in dental implants. I'm very happy with his caring, patient, professional service, and also the results of my Invisalign braces, which he provided. Dr. Matty works with me to keep my costs low rather than have to carry dental insurance. Try Advanced Dentistry. I know you'll like Dr. Matty very much. That's why I offered this, my personal testimony.
Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Did you know there is a new young people's movement in Ann Arbor, Michigan called ID916? Not a rock group, not an exercise cult. ID916 is a gathering of missionary disciples. Two of those disciples, Joey McCoy and Rachel Herbeck, are my guests on Power from the Pews this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo, and you know that I'm a strong defender of the Church's stance on marriage and theology of the body. John Paul II's revolutionary teaching on the body and Christian mystery is the perfect way to understand why the Church teaches as she does. And you can learn more about it at the Theology of the Body Congress, July 9th through the 11th in Philadelphia. It's hosted by the Theology of the Body Institute, and I'll be there broadcasting live along with other Catholic leaders, experts, and enthusiasts. And there's still time to register, so do that today at TOBCongress.com. Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's a Wednesday, which means we go to Rome, as we always do, to speak with Joan Lewis. She is a bureau chief there for EWTN, and she's also the birthday girl. Birthday was Monday. Hope you got my email. How was it?
I did. Oh, it was just a wonderful, wonderful day. And lunch with friends, dinner with friends, two of our, and of course, Janet Morana being one of those friends and your colleague, our friend and your colleague on TV, too. But lunch at La Vittoria, dinner at La Scaletta, my two favorite places, lots of flowers and songs and beautiful desserts and just a wonderful sunny day. I felt sunny inside, and it was sunny outside. So
now, what did Francesco make you? He probably made you something special at La Scaletta, right?
Actually, Francesco had a night off. We did have one of those great big platters. There were six of us. And he just made, the kitchen maid, because he trains his staff beautifully, one of those platters of all mixed.
That's the best. He did that for our group, and we were there in May, and then again earlier in May, too. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Everything that is good is on one plate.
Yes, the bruschetta and the different, it's just fabulous.
Yeah.
You're making me hungry.
And I'm going to a very big party tonight at the American Ambassador's, but it's not for me. It's for the 4th of July.
Are you sure it's not for you? I'm sure it's for you and your birthday.
I don't think he knows. but anyway, no, the two embassies in Rome always, of course, have a for the 4th of July celebrate and have big parties. They get together so that they don't have the party on the same night. And so this is the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See, and it's held at the ambassador's residence and in the gardens, because they have huge gardens. And hamburgers and hot dogs and potato salad and all the trimmings for hot dogs and Coke and beer. And, I mean, we could be in the States and have it be the 4th of July. So it's always a nice event.
Well, that's neat.
No, it's a lot of fun. So sometime if you're here on that day, we will arrange for you to be present. And they were always amazing events. This is the first time with Ambassador Hackett, his first July 4th party. And they were always amazing under Jim Nicholson. He had so many amazing friends who provided entertainment and had amazing groups come in. There's always the colors brought in. The Marine Guard comes in, and we do have music by the Marine Guards and the saluting of the colors, and the ambassador gives a talk. So it's always really, really nice, and you forget for a few minutes you're not on American soil. Although maybe an embassy is considered American soil. I don't know about an ambassador's residence. It may also fit into that category, at least temporarily.
So are these parties actually at the embassy, the American embassy?
No, at the residence. So
at the residence,
Palermo, which is a huge 7-acre or something estate, walled estate of the ambassador to Italy, that the party's there. And, I mean, you can have people and not even find them till the next morning. It's just so big. And
let's hope that doesn't happen. Now, where is it located? Where is it located? Give our folks an idea.
Piazza Ungheria. It's in the Parioli district of Rome.
Okay.
And it's a great big, there's several buildings. The main house is a fairly good size, but not humongous. Then the beautiful gardens. The American Women's Club of Rome had their opening event every year. From September through June, there's always a monthly luncheon or a fashion show or whatever, and it traditionally opens up with a tea, a morning tea, if you will, at the U.S. Ambassador to Italy's residence. And that's always, it's our place, if you think of it. We taxpayers foot the bills for all the embassies, so to be able to at least see part of the grounds in this place, the residence, because, of course, the American Embassy to Italy's Palazzo Margherita, named after not the pizza but the Queen, Queen Margherita, and that is in the center of Rome, of course, on Via Veneto.
Via Veneto, which is beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Been by
well, and especially
times, yeah.
Moving the other one, I don't know when it's going to happen. I'm not one of those. I mean, I am among those not in favor of moving the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See into a building that is on the same grounds or next to the U.S. Embassy to Italy. We're talking about offices now, not the ambassador's residence. But a lot of us saw that as just lowering the emphasis on the U.S. Embassy to the Holy See when the president decided to make that move. So when there were five U.S. ambassadors, I think it's the last five that were all against the move, and they've written a letter, and I know it was in the New York Times, and ostensibly they did it for security reasons. I remember James Rosen on Fox, I saw him do a report as soon as this was announced, and he had, you know, some video, some B-roll footage of the embassy. And he was reporting what I guess I'm sure he was told this was done for security reasons. And believe it or not, I wrote him a note, and he answered. And I said, if somebody wants to get an embassy, whether it's our multi-billion-dollar one in Baghdad or the one on Via Veneto, notwithstanding the high metal fences that protect them and everything else, somebody really wants to, all you need is a shoulder-held weapon, and you can get an embassy. But let me tell you, as small as it was, the embassy itself, which is from the ambassador's office and one or two of the rooms, you overlook Circus Maximus. So, you know, it's in that area of Rome. Circus Maximus is right out their backyard.
Yeah.
But with their fences and the security, just getting in for an appointment was multiple layers of security and gates and leaving your cell phone and showing, you know, multiple IDs. And then you have to, like, if you showed your passport, then you'd have to leave it. So, I mean, you couldn't pick it, you know, you wouldn't see it again until you had finished your visit and were escorted out. So hard places to get into and equally hard to get out of.
And well, are you going to take some pictures and put them on your blog when you're at the 4th of July party?
I probably should. I often do, yes. Well, once I get internet back, because that's been the thing since Sunday. The telecom, this has never happened to me. This is so un-Italian. The telecom, the telephone company, actually called me. And, you know, is Miss Joan Francis Lewis there? And she said, this is telecom. And I said, well, how amazing. I was just going to call you all. And she said, we're upgrading from ADSL lines to fiber optic in your neighborhood, and you won't be having internet. And I said, I actually do not have it. So they said 48 to 72 hours, but I'm on the way to 96 hours.
I was going to say, so it's on Italian time, definitely. They just kind of,
exactly.
You know, a little bit smooth. They just, when they, after Pranzo, maybe they'll get to it, you know. But anyway, we have to take a break. When we come back, I wanted to talk a little bit about, well, there's not much of a schedule for the Pope, because as you said in your email in our exchange,
we'll
it's summertime. But the Holy Father has come out with his prayer intentions for the month of July. And, of course, looking at sports because of the World Cup, I'm sure. And his universal prayer intention for July, that sports may always be occasions of human fraternity and growth, and then his prayer intention for evangelization, that the Holy Spirit may support the work of the laity who proclaim the gospel in the poorest countries. Wrapping up with Joan Lewis.
His main intention wasn't, may Argentina win the World Cup?
I was wondering that, too, because now they're in the quarterfinals, so we'll see what happens. All right, we'll be right back with Joan Lewis. It is a Wednesday. Happy birthday, Joan. Her birthday was Monday. We'll be right back.
Dr. Sue Hale-Monte practices the art of dentistry at Advanced Dentistry Center.
We're more than just a general dentistry. Imagine fixing cavities without a numbing shot. We can do that.
Dr. Monte graduated from the prestigious Tufts University and is expanding his practice, opening opportunities for you and your family, even with Saturday hours. Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Ever thought you'd make a bungle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Joan Lewis joining us on the show, he says, on Wednesdays, live from the Eternal City. She is a correspondent there in Rome for EWTN, Bureau Chief, as a matter of fact, more specifically. Very quiet right now, although I know that there is some close-by travel for the Holy Father coming up, correct?
He's going to Campobasso and to Molise. And
yeah.
On the 5th of this month, Molise is where our friend Claudia is from.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows if he'll even go there. I have to tell you, today was glorious. Crossing St. Peter's Square, of course, to get to the press office, the Vatican on an errand, and then the press office. All the chairs and all the barriers are gone. Oh, you have no idea how those of us who live here and work here and love St. Peter's Square love it when it's not filled with chairs.
Oh, it's so different. You feel like a little kid. You could run through the square. I mean, it's just beautiful.
You can. And the thing is, I can cross the square, come from my home, go in to the left-hand column, cross the square. When it's filled with chairs, I have to go on the whole outer perimeter.
Right.
But they're working on the second fountain, cleaning the second fountain. One was all done. The one by the north colonnade now is being cleaned. Lots and lots of scaffolding. And then I saw two, why can't I think of the word in English? Oh, cranes. I saw two big cranes in Vatican City. One was working on the facade above the main balcony outside. And then the other crane, I don't know what it was doing, but it's near, as you're walking across the square, you could see it near the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, what kind of work, summer work, taking care of roofs or who knows what. So there's no audience today, and the next one will be August 6th for the Pope, but he will, as you mentioned, be on this trip Saturday in Italy, and then his next trip abroad is August 14 to 18 in South Korea. Then he will, the only other thing he's got on his schedule for the next 4 to 5 weeks is the Angelus on Sundays. So he will be around for that. But there was a press conference today that I was at the, not a press conference, a briefing by Father Lombardi, because the Council of Eight Cardinals has now become the Council of Nine Cardinals. And Cardinal Parolin, the Secretary of State, is an official member. He's been at all the meetings anyway. So, they're looking at the Vatican Bank, the governorate, and issues. I think this afternoon, or maybe tomorrow, they're going back to focusing on the Roman Curia. Offices of the Roman Curia, can we, you know, will there be any mergers, et cetera. But Father did give us a heads up to be prepared for a substantive press conference next week, probably Wednesday, but he couldn't say for sure. So, but we're expecting some pretty big news on the Vatican Bank, some of the players out and who will be coming in and so forth. So, you know, big news even though it is the summer. But it's like the journalists want to, when can we go on vacation? And, well, Father was surprised to see the number of people today. He just expected to hold it in the office where everybody has their desks. But there were so many journalists that he held the briefing, you know, in the press office briefing room, the big room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, in terms of the actual, is the Pope taking any time off? I mean, I know you don't have the audience during that, but is he not? We know he's not going to Castel Gandolfo.
Right.
But is he staying at the Vatican besides going to Molise and the other areas you mentioned? He's pretty much just taking it easy at the Vatican, at the Santa Marta.
Well, I mean, you know, he's going to work behind the scenes. He's going to meet with people. You'll probably get a bulletin every so often that said, the Holy Father today received so-and-so. He did mm-hmm. receive the new royals of Spain on Monday, King Felipe and the Queen, the Spanish royals. He did receive them. I'm sure there will be the occasional audience, but I think he's just going to read and write. And you don't hear of him taking any outings, as John Paul would do, just get in the car and take Tuesdays off. And in the winter, when he was younger, he would go skiing on Tuesdays, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
But it would be wonderful to know, just to be told that the Holy Father is going to go to some mountain retreat or some seminary or just some place out of Vatican City. We all know how important it is to change scenery.
Right.
And because you come back and you appreciate your home or your, can I say, your office, you know,
mm-hmm.
even more if you've been away from it for just a while, get a whole new dimension on life.
I do think, though, he's been doing a good job, and it's just, you know, watching this from afar, that he's been saying, you know, I'm not going to go there today. I'm going to take the day off or the afternoon off. And he's been pretty good about pacing himself, it seems, because he realizes that, you know, the schedule that he has. I mean, you know, over a year into the papacy now, he's realizing how busy it is. So it seems like he's been giving himself little breaks here and there.
Well, he has, but the problem is they're never really well explained. You had last Friday, he was supposed to spend 3.5 hours visiting Ginelli Hospital, and it was almost at the same time he was supposed to leave the Vatican. In fact, the press office was closed, I think, and the announcement made that he's not going, but not why, you know.
Well, we're out of time again, unfortunately. Joan Lewis, happy belated birthday. Great work as always. And folks, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection as Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Catholic Connection is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
I'd like to recommend my dentist, Dr. Maddie, and his practice, Advanced Dentistry. When I needed a new dentist, I remembered I'd been hearing about him for years on Ave Maria Radio. I had recommendations from friends, but decided if Dr. Maddie supports Catholic Radio, he must share my Catholic values, and I wanted to support him. Dr. Maddie's degree is from Tufts University. Dr. Maddie really has a state-of-the-art, full-service dental practice, and I know he specializes in dental implants. I'm very happy with his caring, patient, professional service, and also the results of my Invisalign braces, which he provided. Dr. Maddie works with me to keep my costs low rather than have to carry dental insurance. Try Advanced Dentistry. I know you'll like Dr. Maddie very much. That's why I offered this, my personal testimony.
Conveniently located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. Call 248-594-9592 or click at